Turn with me now to the book of Philemon. We are now on our final sermon of this tiny book. You might be surprised that we're able to get four sermons out of this book. But I hope that through this, you have a better understanding of it. And that's that it not only... I know the Holy Spirit applied it to your heart, but also that if you were in a conversation with somebody, you would be able to explain the content of the book. But we'll be reading verses 17 to the end of the chapter, but our focus is going to be on verses 17 through 21. Hear now the word of the Lord. If then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay, but not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. Yes, brother. Let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you. As do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, and my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord our God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this book. We pray now that you will open our eyes and our ears to the truth of the Scriptures, that you apply them to our hearts so that we may serve you and that we may live obediently to your word and truth. So now, O God, work in our hearts. Be with us now. Forgive us of our sins. And in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'd like to begin by telling you a story. And this is a very familiar story, and as I start telling it, you will probably know what I'm talking about or where it comes from. There once was a son that hated his father. He wanted to go out and experience the world for himself. So one day he went to his father, and he said to his father, "Dad, I don't want to live under your rules anymore. I want to go experience the world and sow my wild oats." The father, with a broken heart, gave his request of giving him his inheritance. And the son went out to a faraway country, and while he was there, he spent his money on booze and women. But one day, he noticed that his bank account had run dry, and he had to go out and get a real job. So he found a local farmer and helped feed the pigs. He looked down at the slop of the pigs because he had not eaten for weeks or not had a good meal for weeks. He started to covet these dirty swine. But it was at this time he realized his sin against his father and realized his dependence upon his father. And he said to himself, "I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" And as this son was walking home with his head hung low and guilt filled within his heart, he noticed and looked up and he saw his father running to him. Probably at the time he may have thought that his father was going to come up and give him a punch in the face, but to his surprise, his father wrapped his arms around his son and kissed him, and this father and son, with a warm embrace and tears, wept with joy because this once broken relationship was restored. Now, where you would find this story would be in Luke chapter 15 of the prodigal son. And the reason I tell that story is the fact that we have another prodigal in this book. He's not a son, but he is a slave who has sinned against his master and has run off. And while he was off, he became repentant. He was saved, and he wanted to go back to his master. While this slave goes back, the Apostle Paul sends a letter pleading for the forgiveness of Onesimus by Philemon. And in our focus today, we're going to look at three requests of the Apostle Paul. The first request is found in verse 17. It says, "If then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would receive me." Here, Paul is saying to Philemon, "I am sending Onesimus back to you, and receive him. Whatever you would do to me, do to him." And in an earlier verse, the Apostle Paul had said that Onesimus was his very heart. So he was sending his very heart to Philemon. And what that means is that they had a close tie and a close bond. So if Philemon decides to slam the door in the face of Onesimus, he is actually slamming the door in the face of Paul. If he embraces Onesimus with a warm hug, he is embracing the Apostle Paul with a warm hug. But Paul did consider Philemon a brother in the Lord. And the Apostle Paul is saying that if you consider me a brother, then you will welcome Onesimus to you. Now, the welcoming may sound easy. Now, if somebody new, like your brother or your mother, says, "You know what, I'm sending a fellow Christian your way. I want you to receive him into your house." That seems very easy, right? But when we realize the context of the fact that Onesimus and Philemon were not on good terms, they were at odds with one another. Onesimus had stolen from his master. We don't know what he had stolen, but he had probably stolen something that was quite valuable. Because if it was something minor, he probably wouldn't have ran off to Rome. But that is what he had done. And through his running to Rome, as you know, he became converted and wanted to return to his master. And in light of this situation, Paul's request to forgive might seem a little bit more challenging. But let me put this in a modern context for a moment. Let's say that you hired a woman to clean your house, and you knew that she was an unbeliever. So at one day, you decide to leave her alone in your house. And what does she do? She steals $5,000 from you and heads off to Canada. Well, 6 months later, you hear a knock on your door and you see this woman who has stolen from you, and she has says she has come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and she asks for your forgiveness. She doesn't have the $5,000, but she wants to make things right. Let me ask you, would you be able to forgive her? Well, according to the Word of God, we are called to forgive our brothers and sisters in the Lord when they do come to us in repentance. In Luke 17, verses 3 and 5, this is what Jesus says. He says, "Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day he returns to you, saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." Beloved, if you are partners in the gospel, as Philemon was, and Paul, and Onesimus, you will have a forgiving heart. And if you are a person that holds grudges and does not forgive, will not forgive anyone that comes to you seeking for forgiveness, It may be time to examine your heart to see where you are at with the Lord. And if you have a forgiving heart and you can forgive those who sin against you, then you should thank God, because it's only by the grace of God that you and I can forgive. And if you are having a hard time forgiving your brother or sister in the Lord today who has repented, ask the Lord for help, because it's only through Him that we can truly repent, or we can truly, not only truly repent, but also forgive. But what might be holding Philemon and Onesimus back from being reconciled is the fact that Onesimus had outstanding debt that had not been paid. Like the prodigal son, he probably squandered everything that he had stolen from his master. So when he had come to his master, he could not pay his debt that was due to him. So what is he going to do? Well, the reason why he ran off to Rome in the first place was to seek counsel, to seek a lawyer. And his lawyer was the Apostle Paul. And that should make sense to us, because if you were charged with a crime, what would be the first thing you would do? You would find the closest lawyer. You would find Mark Croonjee. You would find another lawyer. You would find someone to plead your case. And typically, when a lawyer pleads the case for his or her client, he is pleading that person's innocence. That's not always the case, but most likely that's what's happening. But that's not what the Apostle Paul is doing. He knows exactly what Onesimus has done. So instead of pleading the case of Onesimus, of innocence, he says, whatever Onesimus has done to you, put it to my account. I will pay it on his behalf. And that's what the second request is. For he says, but if he has wronged you or owes you anything, put it on my account. Now there's no doubt that he had done something wrong. But here Paul is the picture of Christ in this book. Paul is not Christ. Paul cannot cover the sins of Onesimus. But he's the representative here of Onesimus. In 1 John 2:1, it speaks of another advocate or another lawyer. It says, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So why do we need an advocate? Why do we need a lawyer to plead our case before the Heavenly Father? Isn't everyone good? Doesn't God just love everybody and he's just happy that you're around and he doesn't care what you do? He does care what you do. And we have sinned against God, and that's why we need an advocate. But beloved, we have done something worse than just steal $5,000. We have sinned against an almighty God. We have created millions of idols within our hearts. We've been unthankful. We've been covetous. And that's just a few things. And even if we committed one sin against God, there's no way we could pay that off. Because that what is committed against an infinite God deserves an infinite punishment. And if we cannot pay this debt against God, then who's going to be our advocate? Who should we seek counsel in? And according to 1 John 2, it says, Jesus Christ the righteous. We owe God full obedience. Full obedience. But because we have sinned, we also owe Him our lives in the sense of death. According to the Catechism, we can't pay this off. According to Scripture, we can't pay this off by our deeds. So what does Christ do? He says to the Father, put it on my account. I will fulfill the law for them perfectly. I will go to the cross and I will absorb the wrath of God in their place. And through me, by faith, Jesus says, they will be declared righteous. and it's in Christ that our debt is paid in full. Romans 5, 1 and 2 says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God." So that's speaking of the reconciliation, the restoring of a relationship. "We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." So now we have another question that we have to ask. The Apostle Paul, we know that he was a faithful servant of the Lord, but he didn't really have a 40-hour-a-week job, full-time job. On the side, he would help build tents, but I'm sure that doesn't make a whole lot of money. And also, he was sitting in prison. So how is the Apostle Paul going to be able to pay the debt of Onesimus? Now, I have no doubt that Paul could pay it if he wanted to, but Paul figured out or knew how to cancel the debt without writing the check. And I find this very interesting. He says, "I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay, but not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides." So Paul writes his IOU. He says, "Put it on my account. I'll pay it." But you know what? Philemon, you remember that time when I preached that sermon and you heard the gospel and you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? God used me as a means to bring that about. So, Philemon, I have become a spiritual father to you. And think of all the benefits and the blessings you have received through Christ. You have received the forgiveness of sins. You have received eternal life. Philemon, Onesimus has a debt to you, but you have a debt to me because God has given you something that's greater than what has been taken from you by Onesimus. God had given Philemon an eternal inheritance that would never fade nor wither. So therefore, that $5,000 that was owed onto Philemon seemed like pocket chains. It was nothing. It was pennies. From that eternal perspective, it should make forgiving Onesimus all that more easier. And if you are in Christ today, that means that all your sins are forgiven. Every single one. From the sins you committed in your youth, to the sins that you'll commit when you're old, to the sins that you are committing now. Everything's covered. From the greatest to the least. Jesus has paid that bar tab in full. And knowing that, always keep that in mind when your heart wants to hold a grudge. Remember how much you have been forgiven. Once you realize how much you have been forgiven, it'll be easier to forgive those who seek forgiveness. But now we have a third request from Paul. He says, "Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say." So when I think of refresh, I have to use an example of water. So let's say you ask me for a drink of water. How are you going to be refreshed by that water? I'm going to have to fulfill that request by giving you that glass of water. In order for the Apostle Paul to be refreshed by Philemon, Philemon has to give that request by welcoming Onesimus as a brother and forgiving him. And if he doesn't, there will be a lack or a hole in his joy because he will only have full joy in the Lord until there is a full reconciliation between Philemon and Onesimus. So when I say reconciliation, I mean to be reconciled, a relationship being restored that was once broken. For example, if someone were to be disciplined out of the church or disciplined by the church by excommunication, If they were to come back in repentance, there would be a time of reconciliation where they'll restate their oath to God and confess His name again before God. And I hope one day that we as a church will be able to experience that, to see God restore a sinner. And if you ever stray away, if you ever get disciplined, know that God each and every day is calling you back to Himself. And He'll call back His prodigal sons, and we must pray for our prodigals as well. But all this, knowing that the debt has been paid in full, should direct us back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus has not made a partial reconciliation. He has not made a partial payment of our debt. If a church ever says that you are saved by Christ plus your works, run from that church. Run from it. Because Scripture says that Jesus has paid for all your sins. And let me just quote some passages here. Some of these come from 1 John. Some of these come from Romans 8. It says, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And know that God is faithful. God has never lied. And when you hear a promise in Scripture, that means He's going to carry it out. So, beloved, you should have no doubt that your sins are covered. And you should have no doubt that the condemnation that you and I deserve has already been taken care of on the cross. So, beloved, as we close, two questions this morning for you. Number one, how is your relationship with those in this church? Has someone wronged you? Have you wronged someone? If there is conflict in this church, and I probably said this in another sermon, but it fits with this text, reconcile with them now. Do it today before you go out those doors. And if that person isn't here, pick up the phone and call them. Explain the situation. Explain to them how they have wronged you or how you have wronged them, and seek. Don't stop talking to them until that relationship is restored. Because Jesus promises not only that our relationships with God will be restored, but also our relationships with one another will be restored. Beloved, we're not going to be able to take any bitterness or any anger to heaven. So seek forgiveness now. Seek reconciliation now under heaven. But now I have a second question for you. And I'm going to leave the words of C.H. Spurgeon to do the talking, because I couldn't say it any better than he did. The next question: how is your relationship with the Lord today? Has your heart grown cold to Christ? Or have you backslidden into some type of sin? Seek and return to Him today. And this is what C.H. Spurgeon has to say. He says, "Tell me where you lost the company of Christ, and I will tell you the most likely place to find Him. Have you lost Christ in the closet by restraining prayer? Then it is there you must seek and find Him. Did you lose Christ by sin? You will find Christ in no other way but by giving up of that sin and seeking by the Holy Spirit to mortify the member in which you do lust. Did you lose Christ by neglecting the Scriptures? You must find Christ in the Scriptures. It is a true proverb that says, look for a thing where you dropped it, and there it is. So look for Christ where you lost him, for he has not gone away from you. So, beloved, if two prodigals can be forgiven of their sins, that means you can be forgiven as well. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord our God, our gracious Lord, we thank you for this time or this month that we could consider the book of Philemon. It's a wonderful book, a book that shows us the importance of restoration and reconciliation between believers. And Lord our God, we do ask that if we have any bitterness or any anger within our heart or anyone that we have sinned against or they have sinned against us, Lord, restore those relationships today. And now we pray as the Lord taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.